Locked On Pistons, your daily Detroit Pistons podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What is happening? Welcome to the Locked On Pistons podcast, your episode for Thursday, May 31st, and the NBA Finals are upon us. This is your boy, Matt Shook, the host of Locked On Pistons and also an AP writer here in Chicago covering the NBA. Pistons fan my whole life and a sports newspaper reporter for over a decade as well. Thank you for making us part of your daily routine. And today, we're going to be talking about previewing the NBA Finals in our way and also looking forward to the NBA 2K League weekend as well. We're also going to have part three of the interview with Ken Calvert, the former Pistons PA, public address announcer in the Silverdome for a few years, and then a lot of the Palace run before Mason took over for the going to work era on the microphone. But also for today's Pistons playoff playback, we're going back to 2007, 11 years ago, which makes us all sound very old. The LeBron game, only fitting that we have the game that put him on the map as he looks to continue on putting himself on the map tonight in game one of the NBA Finals. One of those painful weeks, as we talked about this week on Pistons playoff playback anniversaries. Got three tough ones here this week for Pistons fans, but I promise some triumphant finishes of series and NBA Finals. As you know, you can probably spoiler alert yourself on those, that there's going to be some good news coming for Pistons fans in the future here. But Locked On Warriors, Locked On Cavaliers, Locked On NBA, they've got all the stuff you need for the NBA Finals going forward. As far as the Pistons go, a little bit of news coming from Wednesday from Adrian Wojnarowski of ESPN.com. The biggest couple of tidbits being that Kenny Smith is under heavy consideration as far as the Pistons head coach going forward. And also another guy getting interviews is Juwan Howard of the Fab Five. So, well, you know, say what you want about Kenny Smith. I'm not a big fan of his with the NBA on TNT crew with Charles Barkley and Shaquille O'Neal. To me, it's a comedy team, which is fine, and it's great. They serve their purpose. Kenny Smith is kind of the, you know, the quote-unquote straight guy of that group. That's a broadcasting terminology. It has nothing to do with sexuality, obviously, with Kenny and Charles kind of being the clowns. I'm sorry, Charles and Shaq kind of being the clowns, and Kenny and Ernie kind of being the straight guys, so to speak. But to be sitting on the set of the NBA on TNT for the last 20 years and not putting your time in as an assistant coach and not doing the things that you need to do to take over an NBA franchise, I think, you know, Kenny Smith pretty much eliminates himself from being in contention for a team that, as likable as he is, and as knowledgeable as he is, and as, magnetic as he is in some ways, and a very likable guy, North Carolina pedigree, the Dean Smith stuff. But no, he's not going to be the coach of the Pistons. He shouldn't be the coach of the Pistons. Tom Gore is, although maybe he falls in love with the magnetic personality, the likability, the Q rating of Kenny Smith, there's no way that this guy should be coach of the Pistons. So we'll be monitoring that going forward. The second guy, Juwan Howard, member of the Fab Five, a guy that's going to be getting at least his first head coaching interview with the Pistons going forward. Hey, at least he's got some local ties. At least he's been with an assistant coach under Eric Spoelstra in the Miami Heat for the last couple of years. So, hey, at least he's put in his, a little bit of the grit and the grind and the effort of being an assistant coach. No, he's not my number one pick. Obviously, I would prefer Dwayne Casey over that. Not that I'm a big Dwayne Casey guy or super enthused about Dwayne Casey to begin with. But at least, you know, Juwan Howard has put in a little bit of the effort and a little bit of the grind that Kenny Smith has not. So, but no matter what, no matter how you slice this, still embarrassing for the Pistons to be sitting here without a front office and without a head coach at this point. We're heading into June in a day. We're heading into June this weekend. There is no reason why we shouldn't have at least some kind of plan in place. It's still looking like the Tom Gore's, you know, carnival show. Tom Gore's as an owner continues to look like a complete disaster and a complete clown. And Pistons fans, we're bearing the brunt of it at this point. You know, hooking yourself to the Stan Van Gundy wagon was not a bad thing. It worked out for the first couple years of his 4-year tenure, but now we are seeing a guy who is not really up to the task of being the owner of an NBA franchise. And sure, he's making a lot of money. The value of the Pistons, according to Forbes and whoever else does valuations of the NBA teams, the value of the franchise has gone up a lot since Tom Gore has bought it from Bill Davidson. But there's no indication that this guy is qualified or interested in running a winning NBA team. And the news is leaking about this search that has gone on for now a month and continues to go on and looks like it's going to be going on for the foreseeable future. It looks like it's going to continue to be a joke pretty much league-wide. And we're going to have to deal with it as Pistons fans going forward. And but the good news is, you know, there's no way to screw up this offseason because there's really no free agent flexibility, no salary cap flexibility, no first-round pick. So, you know, we'll see what the whole new front office does. We've got to give Ed Stefanski and his coaching searching platform a little bit of wiggle room with what they do. And by the way, news broke from Adrian Wojnarowski earlier today as well. The Pistons have a new couple of consultants in for the job search for head coach. Bernie Bickerstaff and Jim Lynham will be sitting in for some of these coaching interviews. Bickerstaff, a head coach in the late 90s with the Bullets and Wizards, and Jim Lynham, who was a coach for many years for different teams in the 80s and 90s as well. Also, the late 90s, he was a head coach of the Bullets. So, you know, forgettable Bullets eras of the late 90s, and we got a couple of those coaches, Bernie Bickerstaff and Jim Lynham, pretty much involved, sitting in on some of the coaching interviews. You know, like I said, this has turned into a full-fledged clown show at this time. Kenny Smith has been on TNT since 1998. He's done pretty badly as far as his analysis there. Like I said, been pretty much the straight guy, but doesn't really do anything that makes you feel any kind of way about his, you know, basketball acumen there. He's been rumored to be involved in a couple few jobs over the years, but not in the last couple years as far as serious contention for a head coaching position. But now, hey, here he is, involved in the thick of things with the Detroit Pistons head coaching job. Juwan Howard, been an assistant under Eric Spoelstra for the past few years. But hey, at least he's gotten his hands dirty for a couple of years, out there working with players, out there with development, and that's what we want. So, but, you know, overall, like I said, bad developments for Pistons fans, nothing to be excited about. Shane Battier probably saw that this was a little bit of a disaster, you know, from the get-go, cut bait, and now we're hoping as Pistons fans that a guy like Trajan Langdon will see us as worthy enough to come on board. Maybe I'll be surprised in these next couple of weeks, but the early signs for the Tom Gora's front office and coaching searches have been pretty terrible. Dwayne Casey, you know, possibly he's said no already at this point if we're talking to guys like Kenny Smith and Juwan Howard. Just bad news all around. But anyway, if you're hoping for some good basketball, the NBA Finals start tonight, 9 o'clock Eastern in Oakland. The Warriors favored now by 13 points. Every day it seems to grow up about a half point on the spread, now up to 13 from 12 to 12.5 to 13. Andre Iguodala is officially out for game one, according to the Warriors. And hey, the Warriors are probably going to win in four or five games, probably five, possibly four. But today we're going to be talking to the great Ken Calvert for part three of our three-parter that we'll have this week. But if your company is interested in reaching men between the ages of 18 to 44, then you should be sponsoring Locked On Pistons. Locked On Pistons is listened to by 98% men and 80% between the ages of 18 to 44. So if that demo sounds good to you, this is your spot. Plus, we've got reasonable rates. So email me at matt_shook, S-C-H-O-C-H, at yahoo.com to find out more.
Yes, sir!
And now we're being joined here on Locked On Pistons by Ken Calvert, the voice that you guys all know, formerly of WCSX 94.7, pretty much the voice of rock and roll in Detroit for many years. Cool. And now hosting a podcast, the Ken Calvert Show on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, TuneIn, Stitcher, and for our purposes, the longtime public address announcer for the Detroit Pistons as well. I got a couple of guys that we haven't heard stories from yet. What about Isaiah or Rodman? You got any good tales from Zeke or the Worm?
Yes. Isaiah was the nicest guy I've ever met. He was really, really cool. And it was I have a really embarrassing, stupid story about Isaiah, but I'll tell it to you. My wife always sat directly behind me at the games, and very attractive, and still married, very happy, and still she's still very attractive. And
all right,
she would sit behind me, and Isaiah would come over and check in, and he'd always kind of wink at my wife, you know, just sort of like, hey, how you doing? And I was like, well, that's cool, Isaiah, you know. And I forget her name, but there was a woman that used to come out and dance, and she had a tube top on, and it would almost all, I think her name was Quiver. I think they called her Quiver, and she would come out and do this, like, kind of a very risque kind of a stripper dance, and she always was dressed beautifully, but she always wore these tube tops that were working their way down, getting pretty close, you know what I mean? But she did this kind of like a shoulder shimmy thing. I don't know if I'm explaining that correctly. Just mm-hmm. kind of like a, you know, like the shoulders, like, hello, boys. You know what I mean? And uh-huh. like,
I got the visual.
Yeah, okay. So apparently one day I was sitting there, and as a joke, behind me, my wife did, because Isaiah and the boys always would watch during a timeout and not listen to a word Chuck was saying. Everybody was watching. Everybody was watching Quiver. And anyway, so Isaiah came over one day, and just to kind of like, you know, that sneaker pad that's in front of the, you know, the scorer's table there, the stick'em, you know, to get their shoes nice. And he came over, and he bent over, and he looked at Ann, and Ann must have done like the little Quiver shoulder shake. And I thought he did it to me, so I did it back to him. I did the shoulder shake.
And that's funny.
Like, he looked at me like, not you, you idiot. your wife. And I was like, oh, never mind. Isaiah was great. Isaiah was absolutely a wonderful, wonderful guy. As always, as nice as, I mean, I never once, nor would I ever have an issue with him, but I wasn't a big groupie for the team. I wasn't one of the guys that would go in and hang out in the locker room like everybody else. I'd kind of go to the press room, have a cold beer before I got out of there. I usually mm-hmm. wanted to get home at that point. I had to get up and do morning radio.
Yeah, but that's a tough schedule.
Joe was a delight. Loved Joe. Very quiet. Always really, really soft in his tone. But you know, just a really good guy. Mm-hmm. Lambeau was great. Sal was a riot. Buddha was just awesome. Never got too close to Aguirre, I'm trying to think. Dennis and I were pretty close when he was normal. Watching him make that crossover was incredible. From the kid in blue jeans and a flannel shirt and a baseball hat on backwards to, like, the kiss from Madonna that changed his life. You know what I mean? It was...
Yeah.
It was an amazing... Oh, and speaking of Matt Dobek, you know, do you remember the story about the pickup truck and the shotgun, right?
Yeah, uh-huh.
Yeah. And everybody was so concerned, and everybody credits Matt Dobek for, you know, talking him off the edge that day. So,
mm-hmm. Yeah, and it seems like when Chuck Daly and guys like Matt Dobek were out of Dennis's life, that things kind of took a little bit of a turn for him.
Yeah, Chuck took great, especially Chuck and Matt. They realized that this guy needed... Really, he needed special attention off the basketball court, you know. He was just a kid that liked to play video games and really be kind of left alone.
Mm-hmm. And it was great to have him get the jersey retired at at the Palace.
I got to do that. That was really, that was really, really cool. Never understood why they didn't retire a microphone in my honor. I always thought a little microphone going up to the ceiling would have been nice. You know?
Maybe the Ken Calvert / Mason microphone.
Hey, what's that thing right up there in between Isaiah and the banner? Oh, mm-hmm. It looks like a microphone, doesn't it? Yeah, it does in a weird way. Oh, maybe that's for the crowd noise. Yeah, that's what it is.
I'm pretty sure the Lakers did something like that for Chick Hearn. So maybe your day could become another.
Matt, I don't think I'm that big a... I don't think I was ever that big a player in the... I wasn't that big a piece, but I had my fun with it. Let's put it that way. But
and now, Ken, one of the things you're working on, as we mentioned, the Ken Calvert Show, the podcast. Yep. I listened to the recent one with Tim Allen, another Michigan icon, obviously.
Yeah,
there. Tell us about the podcast.
What you heard with Tim Allen is what I really, and that's what I've been kind of putting together. I've been kind of really going to podcast school, really trying to figure out and learn as much as I can about what I think is going to be the real evolution of our listening habits. I think what it is unrestricted great radio when you can get to it, doing the things you want to do while listening to your favorite broadcasters. And, you know, as it is now, I was telling a friend yesterday that with radio, I remember people used to sit in their cars in the parking lot because of the fact that they didn't want to leave. They wanted to hear the end of the joke. And the beautiful thing about podcasts is, like on your podcast, my podcast, whatever, if they get to a point, they can go, "Ooh, wait, I want to hear that story. I want to stop here because I got to run in and do a few things, you know, and I'll come back and pick up there." And yep. So it's just little things and now it's the maintenance of doing it at least twice, if not three times a week for me, to take an interview, set it up, explain it, and show how 20, 25 years later, it fits as well today as it did back then. And it's shocking when I talk to Steve Miller or Peter Frampton, or if it's, any one of the rock and roll, you know, Ian Anderson or Jethro Tull. It sounds exactly like it does today, 25 years ago. So I'm trying to find a space for those interviews when I'm not doing captive, real, good interviews like you're doing right now and what you're doing with your podcast.
Well, I think that's great to go back in the history and have some of those as well, and maybe come up with some new ones. And like
yeah,
I said,
I would encourage people to. It's pretty easy. It's just the old fashioned www.thekencalvertshow.com, all spelled out, but thekencalvertshow.com. As a matter of fact, at 10 o'clock this morning, my time, I'll be very proactive with that. I'm going to, next up, hopefully, it will be Dave Coulier, another Detroit comedian who's doing so well because of the fact that Full House is now Fuller House, and they're now back into their, I think it's their third season that they started last week. So we'll talk about that and his Detroit roots and probably be pretty stupid and tell a lot of fart jokes. So, things like that. But, cut it out. You've got it. And I would like to say people can follow me on Twitter at Calvert WCSX.
A very Calvert entertaining and informative WCSX. Twitter feed. Calvert WCSX.
Thanks.
I really appreciate the pictures and some of the old stuff that you put up on the Twitter feed. You're a man who's adapted to the new world of new media out there. So
yeah, well, that was part of the before I retired. Basically, that was the whole thing was moving in that direction, and it still surprises me that some radio stations, terrestrial good radio stations, have really compelling podcasts. No offense to the radio station, but sometimes the podcast is better than the program, because that debate continues now. Is music the hallmark of that radio station, or is it the personalities that drive the music? And that battle has been going on. In my 45 years of doing radio, that battle has just gone on and on and on. So that's why podcasts are so compelling and so great, because nobody can tell you, get back to the music. If you're on a roll, you can just keep going with it. And that's what I love about them.
I have a self-indulgent question to ask you, Ken. Anytime I have someone, anytime I have someone who might have a connection to my rock god, I guess, the music that I listen to all the time, and that's The Boss, Bruce Springsteen. I'm a sports writer, so I'm contractually obligated to like Bruce Springsteen. Do you have any stories or just seen him in shows, or what's your best Springsteen stories?
My best Springsteen story, I was assigned to the Darkness tour. Boy, I remember that I set up a live broadcast, and we did a live broadcast from WMMS in Cleveland, Ohio. It was on Wednesday, August 9th, 1978. Would you, or do you smell anniversary coming up? And
Ooh, nice.
I spent so much time with Bruce and the band putting all of that together that I found him to be absolutely the most dedicated performer I've ever seen or been around in my life. I almost felt, in a way, like there was this loneliness factor about Bruce back then that made him the artist that he is today. It seemed like he was constantly kind of like searching. I don't know. This was just my take, but but searching for what was total happiness for Bruce, and I think that. That his past would conflict sometimes with what he saw in the future. Now I'm getting a little zen here, but I can't say that I have any, like, I remember the night that the two of us just got hammered, you know, and he told me this or told me that. Nothing like that at all. I just remember he was one of those people that you didn't really try and get close to. I got to be honest with you, Matt. I don't have anything iconic to tell you about our relationship. I think he respected me. I think he respected me more than I gave him credit for, because he signed this beautiful book and sent it to me after I left CBS Records. And I was stunned. I was like, wow, I had no idea. I wish I would have pursued, you know, more of a relationship than I had. But at the time at Columbia Records, you just sort of did your job and stayed out of the way. And you were there to basically make sure that the rest of the parts were happy and in place and ready to go whenever you said it's time to go. I loved it, but that was basically my job. But I did spend a lot of time with him, and that show, we were on seven stations that night. Kid Leo did the introductions, and it was 3 hours, and I still have the tapes, the originals of the most. And you can get them. It's from the Agora, 1978. It's out there. They booted it so many different times that it's actually perfect quality now. Somebody else obviously got a copy of the masters, but that was probably the highlight of my life, that we went through 3 hours so tense, praying that nothing would go wrong, and it came off without a hitch. It was wonderful. So that is my story, and I'm sticking to it.
That's awesome, and I think you perfectly encapsulated the live performance that he puts out there. I've seen him 5 or 6 times now. And
hey, Cleveland, how you feeling tonight?
1, 2, 3, 4.
How about Big Man Clarence? You ready to rock and roll? Gary Talley, you ready?
I love it.
Yeah, well, I just got the chills.
That's great. Well, Ken, this has been great. I reached out through a mutual friend of ours to get in touch with you, and I appreciate you taking the time. Like I said, so many memories
from
the Bad Boys days.
Anytime you want. Yeah, I'd love to do it for you, man.
And Twitter, Ken, Twitter is Calvert, CalvertWCSX. And Ken Calvert, the Ken Calvert Show.
Ken Calvert Show. Yeah, there's an old whiskey called Calvert Whiskey. And so nobody buys it anymore. I'm waiting for somebody to send me a letter saying, by the way, you've inherited this fortune. You're the remaining sole survivor of the Calvert Whiskey family. Do you want it? Sure, why not? Let's try and get it going again. But it's C-A-L-V as in Victor, E-R-T as in Tom.
Well, good luck with the whiskey business. And thanks for the time this morning. And
we call it ginger ale these days, you know, ginger ales. Me and Mick can have a couple of ginger ales. But Matt, I really enjoyed this.
1 million thanks to Ken Calvert, the former Pistons public address announcer, for joining us here on Locked On Pistons. Some good times, some good memories, and I've got some good feedback from listeners for the first couple of segments of that interview that we've run this week as well. But for Pistons playoff playback, going back to 2007, 11 years ago now, the Pistons swept Grant Hill and the Magic 4-0 in the first round to move on to round two, where they match up with the Chicago Bulls, winning that series in 6-4-2 in the second round, and then match up with the Cleveland Cavaliers. For the second straight season, the Pistons were the one seed after a strong regular season under Coach Flip Saunders right there, and the Cavaliers were the number two seed. The Pistons won two games at the Palace by identical 79-76 scores to take a 2-0 lead early on in that series. The Cavs held serve with a 6-point win and a 4-point victory at home at the Q in games 3 and 4 to even up the series. And then the big one, game 5, May 31st, 2007, 11 years ago today at the Palace of Auburn Hills, the big one. The LeBron James-led Cavaliers won 109-107 in two overtimes. I know you remember this one. I remember it well. I was up golfing with some friends in northern Michigan over Memorial Day weekend, and oh my God, what a disappointment this game was. LeBron James scored 29 of Cleveland's 30 last points, including the final 25 points in that game. LeBron, the king, finished with, and this is probably the game where he became the king, he finished with 48 points, 9 rebounds, and 7 assists, just rolling through the Pistons defense, dunking on Tayshaun Prince many times, it seemed like, anyway, dunking on guys like Rasheed and Chris Webber. This was the post-Ben Wallace era. Ben Wallace was already a member of the Chicago Bulls at this point, but Rip Hamilton had 26 points, Chauncey had 21, and Chris Webber, to his credit, had 20 points. Like I said, the post-Ben Wallace era, just getting completely clowned by LeBron James without having a presence inside like the Pistons are wont to do, like they're pretty much married to at this point with Ben Wallace being inside, but he took the big money, went to Chicago instead, and the Pistons were stuck in the middle at this point. This is the game that everyone remembers as LeBron James taking the next leap, taking the next step, becoming the superstar that he would be. Just unabated to the rim many times. An amazing performance by him, and one that catapulted a crazy career that, when all is said and done, might be the greatest career of all time. So I guess you got to give the Pistons some credit there for holding him off as long as they could until he became the superstar that he could. If that sounds, you know, familiar, then that's the number one guy right now that we all recognize as the best player of all time, and that's Michael Jordan. So, you know, the kudos to the Pistons for holding off those top players as much as they could with their grit and grind and defense and all that stuff. But at the end, talent wins, and that's pretty much what we saw here. But speaking of talent, this was only game five that the Pistons lost at home to the Cavaliers, and there were still chances for the Pistons to win, down 3-2. They went back to Cleveland a couple nights later. Boobie Gibson had 31 points in game six at home at Cleveland, and that was it, as the Cavaliers moved on to the NBA Finals, where they got clowned by the San Antonio Spurs. But the message was sent by LeBron James and the Cleveland Cavaliers that this was a whole new Eastern Conference, and the Pistons would not be the dominant force that they have been over the last couple years, although they would return to the Eastern Conference Finals the following year with taking on the Boston Celtics and losing there. Although I would argue, and I was arguing ad nauseum back at that time, that this was not the same Pistons, not the same team that was running the Eastern Conference that they had for the previous couple years. But give us a follow on Twitter at @Matt_Shook, S-C-H-O-C-H. Also at the Locked On Pistons Twitter account. Let us know what you think about Pistons playoff playback. If you have any cherished memories from those times as well, give us a like on the Facebook page at Locked On Pistons-MattShook, and give us a rating and review on iTunes as well. I want to give a big thanks to Ken Calvert for taking an hour out of his time last week for talking to us here on Locked On Pistons. This is your host, Matt Shook. Enjoy the weekend. No more scheduled podcasts the rest of the week. Obviously, some breaking news could change things here, but hopefully we'll talk to you next week. And thanks for listening, everyone. Enjoy the weekend here on a great Michigan summer.